David said last week, anyone was here last week, we said that we'd been to New Wine, a big Christian festival, 14 plus thousand people there. Some fabulous teaching, some really good talks and encouraging messages and challenging messages. So David said he came home with a book last week. I've got a book, but you know what? I'm going to read my book. David's good at buying books, but I'm the one that reads them. And I might even read his book, and then I can tell him what it says in it, perhaps. There's a lot of sifting goes on when you've been and heard some great teaching that's encouraging when you're there. Great to sort of take it in, but there's a bit of sifting and processing going on. There's also a bit of negotiation in our house as to who uses which bits when we've been and heard the same great illustrations and good messages, a bit of negotiation about which of us uses it. So today, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to talk about some things that happened at New Wine, but they're not part of the teaching, the things God sort of said to me separately. We just sung that song, Living Water, about how everybody's welcome. There's no condemnation. Everybody's welcome. And before I tell you some things God said to me at New Wine, we're going to hear from Psalm 139. Donna's going to come and read it for us. Psalm 139, which tells us just how much God knows us and loves us. Thanks.
Okay, before I say anything, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just invite you in this place. Lord, I pray that you will, Lord, bring these words to life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord would say, oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar and you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Thank you. Thank you. Most weeks I text somebody to say, could you please do the Bible reading on Sunday? I think Donna gave me the most enthusiastic response I've ever had. So no pressure, people, but, you know, next time when it's your turn for the text, then think carefully about how enthusiastic you sound. I hope from reading those, hearing those words, they're perhaps familiar to some. I hope as you heard them, you got a sense of God who knows us and treasures us and loves us and goes where we are and is part of our lives. I hope you got that sense of how important we are, that God chooses to know us so well. Fabulous words, however many times we hear them. And it's fabulous that God speaks to us. That amazing, almighty, all-powerful God chooses to speak to us. chooses to speak to us in all sorts of different ways, and he knows the best way for each of us. Often after a holiday, I have a sermon about God's insight through ordinary events. God often speaks to me through ordinary things. And when I say speaks to me, I don't mean I'm hearing a loud voice. I don't mean I'm hearing a voice like I would hear yours. I mean I have a sense inside me that I've learned to recognize as God's nudge. That's what I mean. Some people may hear audible voices. That's amazing. That's not what I mean when I say God speaks to me. But God, sometimes something ordinary will happen and a little nudge inside me says, oh, look, that tells you. You know, look about that. Just see what truth there is to hear. See something you need to be challenged about. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to just take you through four things that happened at New Wine. Ordinary events, but things that I feel God spoke to me and hopefully to you about as well. So the first one is about disappointment. So I was on a team in the evening. So I was part of a kids team and we had a big venue. And then we had a little fenced off bit that had treats and snacks in it for the leaders. Believe me, there were some nights I sneaked in there partway through because I needed just a little bit of a pickup. So there were biscuits and crisps and chocolate things. You just go in, people had brought them, you sort of help yourself. So one evening, I'd gone in before it started and I noticed a packet in amongst all the things, a packet of the best of all biscuits. Do you know what they are? Biscoff biscuits. An unopened packet of Biscoff biscuits. So I opened it because they're there to be opened and I had one, maybe two. Went out. The next day, I'd gone in before it started again, thinking I'll just have a little something, bit of boost of energy before we start. And there's all sorts of things out and I'm looking around and are the Biscoff, are they still there? And I couldn't see them. So I had a bit of a root under somebody's popcorn and some other random things that were there. And I saw a packet. The packet was still there of the Biscoff biscuits. But it looked quite empty. So I thought, oh, there's the biscuits. There's still some left. Oh, there's none in. But then I went, well, you've got to have a proper check, haven't you? Because some people, hard to believe, some people would leave an empty packet there just to tempt everybody else. So I put my hand in, and there was a biscuit left in. My hand touched the biscuit. So we're back to elation. There it is. There's one left in the packet. I pulled my hand out. It was not the best of all biscuits. It was a custard cream. Now, I'm sorry if that's the best of all your biscuits for you, but really, it is not for me. What a letdown. I've been through a roller coaster of, are they there? Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. No Biscoffs left. Disappointment. So the definition of disappointment is not getting what we want, what we hope for. There's a lot of disappointment around at the moment, isn't there? I guess from the election, some people will be very disappointed with the results. Some people will be disappointed with the changes. The Olympics, there's been some elation, but then hasn't there been some disappointment for people who've trained for years and for all sorts of reasons have not performed their best on the day, or something's happened and they've not quite got the result they'd hoped for? Maybe some have been on holiday and the weather's not been what you were hoping it would be. Perhaps it's been too hot or not hot enough or too wet. Maybe in relationships, particularly in the school holidays when, you know, perhaps things have stopped and we're together a bit more. That can cause disappointment, can't it? Perhaps with our jobs, with our all sorts of things, with travelling around on the busy roads. Lots of times that we face disappointment. I think sometimes we're disappointed with ourselves when we've not done our best, when we've reacted badly, when we've made mistakes, when we've not done what we hoped we would do, or we've done what we'd hoped we wouldn't do. Sometimes we're disappointed with other people when they've let us down, when they've not kept their word, when they've not been in touch, when they've forgotten things, when they've just not been how we hoped they would be. Dare we say it? Sometimes we're disappointed with God when we've prayed and we've not had the results we've hoped for. when things haven't gone the way we'd hoped, when we've been looking for a clear answer and it's not coming the way we wanted. Sometimes we have to admit we're perhaps disappointed with how God has answered what we've asked. So I think we all face disappointment at times. Some small things, like a biscuit. Some bigger situations. Some huge, tricky things. I think how we handle them is crucial. The challenge is to acknowledge how we feel and to turn to God, not to turn away from him. My experience with the biscuits, very trivial. I told you God speaks to me through ordinary things. My experience with the biscuits reminded me that I need to acknowledge how I feel and not pretend I'm okay, but acknowledge how I feel and take that to God. So that's situation number one. Situation number two is linked with disappointment, but it's perhaps a step further. I've called it frustration. This one's not quite as funny. So they have big sessions, about 10:30, I think the main session started this year, so plenty of time to get up and get into your day and gather yourself and then go to a big session. But then for people who wake up early and those people who get up early, there's things happen before then. So every morning there was an 8:00 communion service. It was billed as a half an hour, quiet, reflective communion service. So I quite like that. Sometimes in all the noise and all the people, I quite like a bit of being quiet with God together. Just, I like the big and busy, but I do like a bit of quiet. So I kept thinking, well, maybe I'll go, or maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'll go, or perhaps tomorrow. Because just 8:00, we had to be on the other side of the venue to get up, get dressed, get across to it. So that's quite an effort for 8:00 when you're away like that, isn't it? So one morning I thought, right, this is it, I'm going to go. So I got up, got dressed, got across the campsite. I've got this 30 minutes in my mind. That's how it's going to be. Quiet, reflective, lovely. The worship was lovely. Just one guy and a guitar and a nice singer. Lovely. Some nice words. That was okay. And then a bishop got up to speak. And I thought, well, it'll be just been, you know, 5 minutes. That's okay, because then there's communion and then off we go. 25 minutes he spoke for. 25 minutes out of a 30-minute communion service. So then he spoke. What he said was okay, but didn't need to be 25 minutes. Then it went on. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to say, isn't it, when I'm stood here speaking? But in a 30-minute communion service, you don't need, if you're speaking for 25 of those minutes, you need to be, you know. Anyway, so I'm sat there, and then it's communion, and I found myself muttering. I'd gone on my own. I didn't know anybody. I was sat separately. I found myself muttering to myself, well, it's not supposed to have been 20. I've got up out of bed and I've made the effort. Why? And I found myself muttering all the way through the quiet reflective communion. I was still muttering to myself. Do you know, I felt God say to me, don't let what's happened spoil what's happening now. But I have to say on that occasion it did. Because all the way through the communion, I wasn't entirely focused on the act of the communion. I was cross and frustrated by this bishop who'd gone on, and it wasn't what I'd thought I was going to. So frustration, do you ever feel that? So the definition of frustration is the feeling of being upset or annoyed as a result of being unable to change or achieve something. I couldn't really have leapt up and said, that's enough now, thank you, can we have communion? It's not, don't try that this morning. No. I've thought about it since then, on that morning, as I'd muttered my way back across the campsite. I've thought about it since, and I realised how often I let my frustration at one situation or one person, sometimes, carry over into other things and other situations and other people. It can affect how I treat people, even those unconnected with the situation that I'm frustrated about. It certainly affects what my mind is full of. And it can tarnish and spoil good things because I'm still muttering about the frustrating thing. I hope that's not just me. I've had plenty of chances this week to observe how I react to frustration, We've had some major issues with our printer that's just, I won't bore you, but it's gone on and on. Major issues trying to book something that me and Emma were going to go to. I'd love to say that I could now tell you exactly how to face frustration in a way that helps you to sail through it. But my family will tell you that has not been what I have lived out this week. I have been frustrated. At one point, I was writing this. I was frustrated about the printer. I got to this bit and I thought, I can't. I'm going to have to stop because I'm too frustrated to write anything. And then I thought my computer had lost everything I'd written already. So you can imagine how I felt about my computer. I'm not coming with answers. I'm coming with an awareness that this is something that we face and something that can spoil things. So easy to let past things spoil present things. Maybe like me, you can be so busy stewing on what has happened that we miss the good things that are happening now. Wonder how you deal with your frustration. The challenge is to recognize how we feel, take it to God, not let it spill out into other parts of our life. There's lots of examples in the Psalms of people's frustration with situations, freely expressing it to God. Let me read you the first bit of Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? That's frustration, isn't it? Going to God and not dressing it up nice, but saying, do you know, this is how I feel. So my experience with that frustrating communion has challenged me to look at how I deal with frustrating situations. So, two little pictures, disappointment, frustration. Before we move on to the next bit, I wanted to just pause for a few minutes, presuming I'm not the only person who ever feels disappointed and frustrated. So we're going to just spend a few minutes talking to God. I'm going to let you quietly in your mind say what you want to say to God. And if by any chance you've come this morning and you are completely content with everything in the world and your life, then I'm fairly sure you'll know somebody who is facing disappointment and frustration. So maybe that time can be spent thinking about them. So let's pray. Let me read you Psalm 139 as we start. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I might make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Lord God, we thank you that you go wherever we go physically in the world. That you go into every situation. But you're also part of our feelings, our emotions. That we can express freely to you our praise, but also our fear, our disappointment, our frustration. So Lord, in this silence, in the quiet of our hearts, we bring to you those situations we're feeling disappointed about. Things that haven't worked out as we hoped. And we bring you our frustration, Lord. I'm sure anybody like me will have to say sorry as well for not dealing with it well. Father, we thank you that we can be completely honest as we talk to you, that we can say how we feel. Thank you, we can be sure of your forgiveness when we ask for it. And I close this time of prayer. I want to read the end of Psalm 13. Started with all that frustration. Verse 5 says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Lord, I pray for each of us in our disappointment, in our frustration. Lord, we can express them to you, but we can also find your love. We can find words to praise you. We can remember who you are in the middle of our situations. Thank you, Lord. We can pray freely and we can expect you to meet us however we feel. Amen. I realise that's a fairly brief time, so if you are carrying big disappointment, big frustration, and you want to talk and pray more, then there are people here who would count that as a privilege. I just wanted to give that opportunity in the middle. So, moving on, the second bit's a bit jollier, I think. So, situation number three is called sharing. Now, I have checked with Emma that it's okay to share this. So, we're there, there's 14,500 people staying on a showground. So they bring in blocks of toilets and blocks of showers. An experience. So we'd been to the shower several days and it was nice warm water, lovely. I think on the final day, we decided, me and Emma, we thought it was really hot, we'll go have a shower. So we went in and we got ready for the shower and I went in first and it was freezing cold. I'd stepped in expecting hot, and it was cold. So I had the quickest of showers, got out quick, and thought, oh, this ain't going to work. Emma's got a lot of hair that needs washing. Cold water's not good. So then I left Emma in the shower cubicle, and I went to try some of the others. There were two or three blocks of showers together. So I went up and down all these steps, up and down, turn the tap. Is it hot? No. Come back down, turn it. Went into the next one. I found one that was warm. So I came back to our shower, knocked on the door. Emma's wrapped in the towel, so I bundled her down the steps, across and round, up the next steps, into the warm shower. Went all the way back, got her stuff, all the way back in, into the shower, lovely shower. Everything was okay. And you think, oh, that was a bit of a faff. We weren't expecting that. We'd gone in anticipating warm shower. We got there. So we came out. We came down the steps, we checked we'd not left anything in the shower, crucial thing. As we came down the steps, we noticed there was a man that was going up and down other steps, doing what we'd done, going up and down other steps. He was fully dressed, up and down other steps. So we said to him, well, if you're looking for a hot shower, these are hot in this block. Oh, no, he said, I'm after a cold shower. We said, well, actually, these ones are cold. So we could tell him, we could save him all that up and down the steps and trying them all out. We knew because we'd experienced it. Our experience was useful to him. And on the way back, walking, checking across the campsite with our towel and everything, Emma and I were saying how often God does that, that our experience, because we'd had that experience, we could help him. Because our experience, we could pass on and help him. Now, again, it's a little trivial thing. It's a shower. He could have found his own shower, couldn't he? That would have been okay. But it made me just think how often that works in God's kingdom, especially in tricky situations. Our experiences, especially tricky things that we faced and found a way through and have got some hope about, can be really helpful to other people. Sharing information, sharing how God helps, giving hope and strength that it's possible to get through to the other side of whatever it is, and sharing and understanding. There is a quote from somebody that says, God turns our mess into a message. Difficult things we faced can be a real gift for other people. It can be big things. people who battled an addiction, using their experience to start a ministry and having understanding. It can be a bit of an insight into someone else's situation. Just being able to say, I know how that feels, can be really helpful. It can be sharing with someone who's in a situation you faced. You think about grief or starting a new job or some of the things facing parenting issues. Just knowing someone else has been in that situation can be really helpful. It can be sharing the truth about God, sharing how we found God in that situation and how that has helped. Can be passing on Bible verses, sharing testimonies. So the question, I suppose, is what have you experienced or what are you in the middle of that God is using or can use to help other people? I would just say look out for opportunities and be bold enough to take them. And know that God will touch other lives through you and what you've experienced. And then finally, linked to that, I've called this one passing on. So on the very last day, you have to pack up. We've camped, we've gone in the car, we've got the tent and all kinds of things. So first job, obviously, packing everything up, getting it in the car. If you've ever seen our car when we are going on holiday, it's quite an amazing. David's, my job is to get everything in bags and get it in a place. David's job is to get it in the car. And I said before, my secondary job is to make sure nobody interferes with the process of getting things in the car. So, amazing achievement of getting it in. So it's everybody can still actually sit in a space and be able to breathe. Good thing. The last thing then we always do when we packed up our tent is to walk around the pitch to check we've not left anything. Tent pegs, bits of things, something that's been dropped, bits of rubbish. My parents always did that when we went. We had a caravan when we were kids. So we always, the last thing when the caravan was attached to the car and off it went, the last job was always we had to scour the area to make sure nothing was left. And I'm sure I probably muttered about it at the time. But Mum and Dad made us do that. So when we started camping, that's what we did. The children then become part of the process of it. So it becomes a family habit. I have to tell you, one of my proudest parenting moments was when Adam went on his very first Duke of Edinburgh expedition and they camped and he was telling us how it had all gone. And he said that when they'd all packed up their tents, he got his group to walk up and down, make sure they'd not left anything, make sure they cleared all the rubbish. How fantastic, I thought, I've done it. What an achievement. Passed on the skill. Psalm 78 says, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Talks about the importance of passing on our experiences of God. Not just life skills like collecting rubbish from a campsite, but the important thing, the most important things are the things we know about God to pass on. Because the testimony service on the 1st of September, what a fabulous opportunity to pass on something that you have experienced of God. So the question, I guess, is, and I was asking myself this as well, what of your faith are you passing on? How are you passing on what you know of God to younger family, to children, to grandchildren, to nieces and nephews, to godchildren, to the children that you, that are part of your lives? How are you passing on your faith, your knowledge, your experience of God? Could be the children in church as well. What a privilege we have to be part of the lives of children growing up in faith. It could be from sharing knowledge, could be sharing experiences. It could be from them watching us and how we live out our lives. What do people see of your faith in action? How we respond to tricky situations, how honest we are, how we tackle mistakes, how we talk about other people. It's not about us just launching in and telling people all the time, is it? It's about being aware of God's nudges, recognising our experiences of God and life and being prepared to share them, responding to opportunities he gives us to share and encourage. Important to know, we could have had the best experiences. We could pass it on in the best possible way. It doesn't always result in people picking up what we want them to. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to give them the opportunity. So that's the final thing. What are you passing on? What do you know of God and how are you doing that? Who is it that you can pass on, share your faith with? Just got one final thing. This is an update from last year's holiday sermon. Do you remember some of you that were here in September? I preached a sermon from our holiday. And the final thing, we talked about coveting and our washing and how everybody on the whole site had this amazing washing up bowl with handles on that collapsed. We didn't have one and I felt all left out. And then some generous person bought us one. So last week at New Wine was its first outing. Not its full glory because there was no hot water to walk across to with it, but there it was. We were camping with some people who've not camped before. And you know what she said to me towards the end of the week? She said, we've been looking. She said, I really like your washing up bowl. She said, I've tried to get one in the car. Their first experience of cramming everything into the car to come camping. I tried everything to get a washing up bowl in the car and I could not get it in. She said, but I'll be getting one of those and I'll be having that next time we go. Isn't that amazing? Just to see, just pass it on. And then I told her the story of how we came to have it. So as I said at the beginning, this is some random things that God spoke to me about. Encouraging, challenging, remind us to think about how I respond, to think about what I have to pass on and the importance of passing it on. I would say look out for what God is saying to you this week through your Bible readings, through your prayers, through your everyday experiences. Psalm 139 that Donna read reminds us that God reaches out to us with love. When he's highlighting things, especially things we need to change, it's really good to remember that it's because he loves us. It's not about shame. He's not condemning us. He's not criticizing us. He wants us to grow and blossom and flourish. He reaches out with love and hope. How glorious that we worship God who chooses to speak to us because he loves us. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing Build My Life and then we're going to pray. It's about knowing that God can be trusted, isn't it? And I think in our world, when there's lots going on, it's really important to know what our foundation is. It is really important as we watch the news to see things through God's eyes, to know that he's involved. I really debated about how to pray this morning and then found the Tear Fund weekly prayer resource, which got a fabulous prayer for about a few different things about the world and the country and what's happening. So I'm going to use their words to pray. Let's pray. Holy God, your kingdom come. Around the world and in our own cities, Lord, towns, streets and homes right now, Lord, we see conflict, anger, discouragement and fear that's fueling responses of hate and blame, racism and violence. Lord, we pray for unity among people. We pour out our despair before you at the state of the things we see in the world. We cry out to you for peace. In this silence, I encourage you to think of the situations that have particularly you found particularly hard this week? Things on the news, things in the papers, things you've heard. Bring them to God. Let's pray for his peace. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving, for those who are afraid, for those who've been injured, for those who've lost possessions and a sense of safety. We ask you, Lord, for protection for all people and that the destruction will end. Lord, we pray that the church will be at the centre of restoration. We ask that in every community, the local church will be a place that brings healing, that provides shelter, where your voice is heard in gentle power. Your voice that calls us to patience, to kindness, to hope. We pray that you will equip each church to support people in the most practical ways. Lord, we pray for wisdom for leaders at every level. We pray for a way forward that rebuilds relationships and brings long-lasting solutions. And we pray together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. It's really important, isn't it, as we watch the news, to remember God is there. There's all sorts of stories of things happening that we don't see on the news, and just watching the news can lead us to believe that there's only awful, and that's not true, because God is at work in his world. I just encourage you to take that with you. So in a minute we're going to sing our final song. We're going to sing Raise a Hallelujah, a song that sends us out with an oomph, I think. A technical musical term, with an oomph. So, but after that, we invite you to stay. We've got drinks, we've got barbecues, we've got pleasant conversations.